It is 9:30 straight down if you have a clock with hands on it. You're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming at coastradio.org and on your mobile using the TuneIn app. Because it is 9:30 and it is Monday morning, it's time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers. I am here with my ever-fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. You have your apron on.
I got my apron on. My woolly winter apron.
We need those fleece-lined aprons. Yeah,
I know. It's got a collar and mittens.
With string, no doubt.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It is feeling really, I mean, I think I've been saying it's feeling like fall ever since the end of August. Mm-hmm. But now we're serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
And listening to Ship Report this morning, Joanne Rideout tells us that we're losing 3 minutes and some seconds off of daylight today.
Wow.
We're in that, we're plummeting.
Yeah.
Toward darkness. So.
Yeah. I'm waking up and it's dark.
Yep.
Boo-hoo.
It's okay in the beginning.
Well, I had kind of an interesting thing happen, a pretty special thing.
Yes.
So I think that Jesus Christ himself has visited me in my pile of zucchini and blessed it in the way that he did the loaves and the fishes, because I have been baking zucchini bread and baking zucchini bread. I mean, bad enough that my husband looked at me seriously and point blank said, what did he say? Oh, honey, are you out of control?
That's a quote, isn't it?
Yes. And that's an exact quote. And that pile has not moved. It's the most amazing thing. And I use, like, you know, the better part of a pound in each loaf. It's really something.
Well, last time we talked on Food Talk, you were baking zucchini bread at an alarming rate.
Yes. Yesterday, I baked 30 loaves. I mean, that's what I mean, that pile has not moved. It's the most amazing and religious thing.
I don't know. It sounds damnable to me. My God, the zucchinis that just won't quit. Yikes.
I think we've all experienced that, though.
Yes.
Moving on to the apples that won't quit.
Oh, my gosh. That's right. Yeah. It's apple season. And my little tiny baby tree that's only like 2 years old, I think, has like 10 apples on it.
Really? And now that's so cool.
They're turning red. Yeah.
Oh, do you know what poor Dale did?
No.
So, our yard is fenced in, and we have two dogs that are about 20 pounds, so they're pretty scrappy. But, you know, in the back of my head, I always worry. You know, we had a cougar kill something in our carport once. You know, I worry about coyotes. Just, you know, I don't want them carried off. That would be awful. So, anyway, something was getting in the yard every night and eating all the apples that were on the ground, because we have an apple tree, too. And so he set up one of those cameras, and it is deer. I didn't think it was deer, because the low-hanging apples were still in the tree. They weren't taking those. They just taking the ones on the ground. So we've seen coyotes in our yard eat apples. It's actually kind of cool. They put their head down sideways on the ground. They don't just, you know, bite it and carry it away like you'd think. They put their head down sideways with their ear on the ground, and then they bite it sideways and then they carry it off.
Oh.
But we've had as many as 12 coyotes in our yard taking apples, you know, one morning. That was really something. So I didn't want coyotes in the yard, but yeah, he set up one of those trail cams and caught a deer. So
wow.
It's deer, the best possible explanation.
And they're cleaning your yard.
Yeah. There's every morning, no apples. Apples fall all day. Every morning, no apples. So, yeah, that's just great.
Well, you must be getting close to picking apples, because
yep.
I know you go on like an apple spree once those zucchini are off the porch.
That's what they're supposed to be off the porch, but they're not. But yep, we're gonna double team it. Double team it.
Oh my God! Yep. Well, have you been cooking anything else? Because your oven is completely dedicated now. So
to zucchini bread. Well, I made some cookies, oatmeal cookies. I make those a lot. I like them. Let's see. I mean, in kind of like an act of defiance, I made some gazpacho.
That is defiant.
I know. It's summer.
We are still getting some tomatoes, though.
Yeah. I mean, especially cherry tomatoes, and they're just good in anything.
Yeah.
You know, if you make a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, it looks kind of funny, but it sure tastes good.
Yeah. Well, they tend to squirt out, though, and you're constantly having to pick them up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're trying to have them in a sandwich.
Well, I cut them so that you don't have to.
Well, yes. Good idea.
Sorry. I thought that's what you meant. Just shoving them in their hole. And
a vegetarian meatball sandwich.
No time.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think it's starting to be braising and maybe like slow cooker cooking. I don't know. Everybody's talking about Instant Pots, and I don't have an Instant Pot. I do have a pressure cooker.
You know what? That's the thing. So we've talked about that before. Neither of us has an Instant Pot. But I got this French cell. And so she just got an Instant Pot. And I know lots of other people with Instant Pots.
Tons.
But she loves to cook. And so she posted this thing on Facebook, and she says, you know, and she works during the week, and so she wants to have quick weeknight meals. Anyway, so she just made some goulash, you know, just some like macaroni with essentially meaty spaghetti sauce type thing. So she said she just turned it on, and it has like a saute feature, I guess. So she turned it on so that she could saute the meat, brown the meat and the onions in the bottom. And then she put the noodles and waters and tomatoes, garlic and spices in there, turned it on for 4 minutes, and it was done.
What?
Now that's impressive, isn't it?
Well,
I'm actually thinking I'm going to get one.
Really?
Yeah, I just
I
want to try.
Well, it might be the one kitchen appliance you don't have.
So I know.
You need to complete your collection.
I when I was getting into molecular gastronomy, I really wanted a centrifuge, but they were super expensive, and so I thought we had this extra washing machine that I thought I could make one out of. And Dale's just like, no.
Honey, are you all right? Oh my God.
Honey, are you a little out of control?
Well, you're just willing to try anything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking soup and stew and chili and any of that stuff. But I'm not really, I'm not interested in doing, I don't have to come home from work and have dinner in 4 minutes.
No, so. But like I know people that use it for beans, and beans take so long. And if you forget, you're like, how will I make up those 12 hours, you know? So soaking beans in like 45 minutes or something like that.
And do you ever just not soak beans, just cook them?
Well, no, I don't. Does that work for you?
Yep.
Okay.
And that's often how you do it in a restaurant. You just cook them. It takes a while to cook them, but it doesn't take overnight soak and then a while to cook them. So I just cook them.
Okay.
I mean,
are there ones that are more successful than others?
Well, in my experience, it's the age of the beans. Like if the beans have been in your pantry for a couple of years, you probably ought to soak them.
Yeah, even a year.
Yeah.
That's kind of the line.
Yeah.
I actually kind of throw them away after a year.
Do you?
Yeah, because they just get tough. And if you're making something, beans are the cheapest part, you know?
Yeah.
And if the beans are tough, and you know how they get that like irrecoverable toughness,
then you can't cook them long
enough. Yeah, people are faking if they say they like it. They're like, this is delicious. That's
them
chewing.
We don't want al dente chili. We just don't. But and old beans are really, I mean, I use them for pie weights.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, they can't serve a useful purpose right before they wind up in the compost.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I was gifted this wonderful little thing called Cooks on Food, Eating and Cooking by a friend.
It's a cute little book.
It's like a little pamphlet.
Almost.
It's a pamphlet.
It's cute.
It's a booklet. Anyway, one of the quotes that I really like in it this morning, because I've been thinking about making chili, is chili's a lot like sex. When it's good, it's great. And even when it's bad, it's not that bad.
That's really true.
That's from Bill Boldenweck. I don't know who Bill is, but I will do some. Do you know who
he is? No, but what a funny name, Boldenweck.
Weck.
Oh, Weck, sorry.
Although I'm sure he has suffered many many mispronunciations over the years. Hey. I will find out who he is and give him his due.
Yay. No, I think you just did. That was enough. So you were talking about how you cook beans in the restaurant. You know, when you had a restaurant, like what were the things, you know how they always say there's like a 20-80 rule, you know, 20% of your menu is responsible for 80% of your sales? Or what were your most popular things? What did people buy the most of?
Food-wise, because if you have a restaurant and bar, you know, it's...
Yeah. It's going to be
it's gin. Not the restaurant that's making the money. In my experience, and my experience is not, you know, I'm sure there are people more qualified to say what it is. But around here, the things that people look forward to and will pay a premium for are like spring run Chinook, wild mushrooms, that kind of thing. You get a higher price point on the standard rule of thumb is that the highest, the lowest food cost for the highest profit in the food industry is pizza.
Okay.
It doesn't cost that much to make, and you get, you know, if you have a $20 pizza and you've got $3 worth of ingredients on it or whatever.
There's a new pizza guy down in Seaside. I don't know. Can we say the name of restaurants? I don't know. Okay. So he used to have Avenue Q Pizza. And then...
I'm trying to think where it was. I mean, obviously, Avenue Q.
But yeah. No, you know, he didn't even have a sign.
Oh, okay.
It was a... right by, I think, the liquor and cigarette store.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
but back there in that little strip mall. But he didn't even have a sign on the front of it, seriously. And then Angelina's moved real close. And I think that was a little too much competition. So he moved it up to, like, Avenue B. And now it's called A&B Pizza. But he is such an interesting guy because he thinks so much about dough. So he had, like, an accident. He makes his dough, like... The where you use like a pre-ferment, you know, you have dough that's fermenting and you use that dough as the yeast in your new dough. And so
sourdough technique.
Exactly. Yeah. But just not so sour as sourdough taste, you know, because you want the dough to be a substrate, not the flavor of the thing. So he does that. And then he accidentally one day used way too much of the poolish, the pre-ferment, the dough with the yeast in it that you use for the yeast in the next one. He used way too much. And man, it just turned out so good. And so he's doing his crust different now. And it's really, really good crust. And this is a thing I really like. So I make a bread very similarly to that. I'm not a giant fan of sourdough. It has just too much flavor for me. I want to be able to taste what I'm putting on the bread, maybe more than the bread. But I pay a lot of attention to texture. So something that I like with the bread that I make, which is made very similarly to his crust, is I love to cut it up into croutons and then saute it in the skillet so that they're not like croutons that are dried all the way through, but they're soft in the middle and they're crunchy on the outside. I like that. But it only lasts a couple hours. Like you make them and they won't hold overnight. They get really, really chewy. And so if you buy a pizza and eat it there, oh man, it's just so good. It really is. Just because it's such an interesting thing that he's done with his dough.
Uh-huh. And you know that a really good dough like that, and your bread is fabulous. The only thing that makes it better is your homemade jam.
Oh,
really? Seriously,
that's a nice thing to say.
Is that you can do so many things with it. Mm-hmm. You know, a good pizza dough doesn't just have to make pizza.
Yeah, he makes bread with it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
But if you But it's the same problem as with my bread. Like if I put that pizza in the fridge overnight, in the morning, the crust is tough. It's not the same. It's not, it's crunchy on the outside and soft on the inside. It's so good when it's hot. And I wish I could figure that problem out. I don't know how to make my bread not tough the next morning if I fry it that way. It's not tough if I don't, but.
And how do you store the croutons if you have leftover?
I put them in a Ziploc.
Okay. So I don't know.
Do you think if I left them out in the air?
Well, I mean, I think it would be worth a try. Since they're not coming out the way you want them anyway, you might as well try.
Yeah, they're really, really good when they're fresh, but a couple hours later, they just start getting tough.
Yeah. And depending on what you're going to do with croutons, I think that, like for Caesar salad, mm-hmm. I like really dry, crunchy croutons that are dry all the way through because I want to put them in that Caesar dressing.
Oh, and soak it up.
In the bottom of the bowl and let it sit for a while before I toss the salad. Yeah. And I think that Caesar, for me, is is the only salad I can think of that is not that is outside the don't overdress it rule. I think that Caesar salad should have lots, you know, every single leaf should be coated mm-hmm. with that dressing. So so I like the croutons that are really dry because they soak up that dressing. So I guess maybe what you're going to do with them, or if you're going to grind them, can you just grind them into breadcrumbs then?
The croutons?
The leftover ones?
Oh, yeah. But what I want, I want to be able to have croutons that are good that way and hold them, not have to make them at that point. So it's not like I'm wasting bread. It's just that I haven't figured out how to do it.
Yeah. I wonder about freezing them right away.
No, it doesn't work either. I've tried.
Oh, poo. I am going to take a quick minute and remind everybody that they're listening to Food Talk. Let me remember what they're listening to on Coast Community Radio. Food Talk is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web, where you can join us for cooking classes. We're cooking soup in October, which is today.
Yeah.
Cripes. Anyway, the class is not today. The class is this month. And if you'd like to cook soup with us and have a nice soup dinner, go to northcoastfoodweb.org and check the calendar.
Right on.
That's how we do
it. I took that class once. I really liked it. It was a lot of fun.
It's fun. I think that this time we're doing pumpkin pear and smoked salmon clam chowder. So what are you doing with wild mushrooms? And are you, I know you're out there picking berries. You pick apples. Yeah. Do you go mushrooming?
No. And the reason is I'm afraid of them. There's things that I'm fearful about that I should not be fearful about. I understand that. But, we lost our house in that storm of 2007. We had a giant power surge come through our house and blow up everything that was plugged in 2008. God is trying to get us off the planet. And so I don't like can anything except jam. I don't do that because I am afraid that I'm going to kill my family with botulism. And the mushrooms, I don't pick them because I know that how I learn is by making mistakes. And man, there's just no room for error in mushrooms. I know there's like that variable of some of them, it depends on what they're growing by, whether they're poisonous or not, and I can't identify those things. And I got a close neighbor who is blind because he made that decision of, it might taste good or it might blind me, and he lost that bet. So I'm just, it's not how you want your host of your food talk show to be, but it is how I am. It's just how I am. I'm fearful and overcautious about stuff that could kill my family.
But do you eat wild mushrooms if someone brings them to you?
Yes. If it's not that neighbor.
No offense. Well, I'm with you. I don't go mushrooming, but only because I'm not interested in, pursuing my food. It either needs to be showing up on my doorstep or I need to go to the...
Someplace easy to get it.
That's right. Yeah. I am not... any pioneering spirit I had in my youth has long since dissipated, along with my good sense. But I do love wild mushrooms. I love all the mushrooms we get in the fall right now. This is, September, October are traditionally the seasons around here for the fall stuff. And then in the spring, morels. Oy, oy, oy. So I just, my neighbor, I have a better neighbor apparently because I have a neighbor who brought me the most perfect giant bolete the other day.
Oh, those are so good. King bolete.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And perfect. You know, when they get bigger, often they will have like worms or... acne, mushroom acne.
Yeah.
This was blemish free and gorgeous. And
they're really delicious.
Oh, they are.
Just sauteed
so
in butter with
good.
Garlic. They are really, really, really good.
Yeah. Well, with garlic and bacon and onions and cognac and a little butter. And I had some shishito peppers from 46 North Farm and I threw those in there. It was so, so good.
Okay.
So
it sounds really good. Yeah, those I think are the ones I like the best.
Yeah, more than chanterelles?
I think just because chanterelles are so easy to get, it's sort of like a do I like milk or truffles? It's hard to say because milk is so readily available. There's so many chanterelles out there, and I just pretty much get king boletes from my stepson. But man, they're just so good.
Yeah,
I really like
so
them.
Good. Yeah. So what do you do with them? You're just sautéing them.
Yeah, pretty much just sauté them in butter and garlic, and then eat them.
Yeah. It's hard to do anything better with them, although they, you can make some killer mushroom soup.
Oh, yeah.
And I really like mushroom. I mean, I love cream of mushroom soup. Why wouldn't you? Unless you don't like mushrooms. But I also like mushroom soup made more like French onion soup, where you just slowly, slow cook the mushrooms and use some beef broth or some veg broth or some mushroom broth.
And I've even just put sautéed mushrooms in French onion soup.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because French onion soup takes so long to make, and I just make a whole bunch at once and then I put it in containers and freeze it so that it cuts down on the work. And then if you get mushrooms, then I have it,
You are the only person I know who caramelizes onions in three stages and saves them.
It freezes them, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll do it once a
year.
Well,
that's why your onion soup is so good.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, because you can make it fast, but you've got those onions you worked on for 6 hours in the freezer.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I brought him to the class once, I remember, so you didn't have to get up at 4 a.m.
I know, it was fabulous, and we could have dinner.
That was the
dinner.
Soup class, that's right.
Yeah, that was the soup class. And French onion soup is not a quick soup.
No.
Not
if it's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, but when it's good, it's really good.
So Dale did something kind of cool. So this is a two-part story. His birthday was a couple weeks ago, and I couldn't think of anything. So what I did is I got one of those disco party lights for his bathroom to make it a party pooper. Yay! He was really excited.
Anyway, I bet he was.
I just couldn't think of anything. But I thought it was funny. Party pooper. Ha ha. So I always, if I get up in the morning, I turn it on in there so that when he gets up, it's going and he remembers that he has a party pooper. So there is an ice cream scoop that I love. It was made by Wilton. It's got this weird kind of wedge-shaped front to it, but you would never think that an ice cream scoop could like be life-changing, and that sounds so weird, but if your ice cream is as hard as a brick, it just glides right through it. It's so infinitely better than other ice cream scoops. So of course a few years ago they discontinued it. Thank you. Maybe 3 years ago, 2 years ago. So sad. I would have bought so many if I'd known, because it was always kind of my, you know, go-to hostess gift. You know, here's a jar of jam and a weird ice cream scoop, but you're going to love it. And then people say, I never thought ice cream scoops could be better, but it's just so good. Anyway, Dale apparently found some up in Canada because they're all in French. And so he bought them, and it was kind of retaliation for the party pooper. So he hid them around the house. You know, he hid one in my desk. He hid one in my bed, but then he hid one in the bathroom and he made it a pooper scooper. I'm so happy to have that scooper again.
You too are having way too much questionable fun. Oh my gosh. You know what? There are certain little tools like that that for whatever reason we find irresistibly wonderful, and usually because they're excellent.
Yeah.
And one of mine is the garlic twist.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No, I don't have one of those.
I do not have a garlic press.
Okay.
Which
I've had one before.
I always,
I don't have one now.
Yeah. I don't like them. In the first place, they're unnecessary. In the second place, they're hard to clean, and they annoy me. But this garlic twist is plastic, so like a hard lucite or something.
I've seen them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks kind of like a little dome, a little mushroom thing.
Yeah, it's two halves, and one half has some like little fingers sticking up, and the other half is just the lid that goes on it, and you put your peeled cloves in there, and then you just twist a couple times, and you get perfectly minced garlic.
Okay.
Without any trouble at all. So it isn't that it's that hard to mince garlic with a knife, but this is so fast and easy. And then it goes, you know, it washes and it's easy to clean. And for some reason, that's one of the tools that even though it only does one thing, I totally love it.
I think for me, I would probably say the microplane, you know, the little hole.
The tiniest one.
Yeah, yeah. Just for zest. It just works so well. And for nutmeg and anything that you have to cheese.
Even garlic cloves, if you want. Or cinnamon sticks.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't like garlic cleanup. I don't like... like if I mince it, I got the knife and I got the cutting board. You know how garlic is really
sticky?
Yeah. And if I've got my press, I've got the press. So I buy the peeled cloves in a big honking bag, like several pounds, put them in the food processor, you know, once a couple times a year. And then, I put them in quart bags. I freeze them. I put them in quart bags so that they're very thin. And then I just break little pieces off when I need it. And then I just don't have the garlic cleanup. And so when I'm cooking, when you need the garlic is always towards the end, you know, and I'm always really busy. So I don't run water on it. And then the garlic sticks to it. And if I run it through the dishwasher, then stuff the drinking glasses have a faint odor of garlic. And that might just be that my dishwasher is not great. But I really like that way because I don't have any garlic cleanup except for, you know, the couple days a year that I grind it up into a fine mince to put it in those bags in the freezer. And so that is what I do for that. And I know I've talked about that before.
Yeah, yeah. Are you doing other kinds of pre-prep? Like, do you do onions ahead?
No, I don't think onions freeze well. I don't. For
what I
need. I
know that you can commercially buy them.
Yeah.
I have not done that, but I see them, and I wonder how they are.
Because onions, because they keep so well, and they're not that hard to cut. And also, you know, they're a big volume. Like if I was to cut onions and freeze them, it would take up a lot of room in my freezer. So even though I have a lot of freezers, I don't want to be running up and down from the basement to get stuff. And my freezer and my refrigerator isn't that big. But I do the same thing with basil. I buy a pound of it and I put it in the food processor, the leaves, and I drizzle in some olive oil. And I just grind it up into a paste and I quick put it flat in the quart Ziploc bags, because if you let it sit out a while, it's going to turn black. So I do that quickly. I do the same thing with ginger. I buy a couple pounds of ginger and I cut it up into like 2-inch knobs, maybe put it in the food processor, grind it up until it's a mince. And then I put them flat in Ziplocs and I put that in the freezer. And then the other thing that I do is lime juice, because I can go through a bag of lemons, you know, pretty precipitously, but limes, they go bad faster. And then they seem to taste so much better when they're bright green or dark green.
Yeah.
And so I'll zest a few, because that's how much zest I'll use. I'll maybe use the zest of 5 or 6 of them, but I juice them all. And a 5-pound bag, you know, it makes a lot of juice, but I just pour it into a quart Ziploc bag so that when I lay them flat, it's going to be pretty thin. And then same thing, I just break off what I need. Because I use lime juice as an acid in dressings a lot. Uh-huh. I really like it.
I do too. I like it in a lot of things.
And that just makes it easy. And it makes it cheaper, because when you buy a 5-pound bag of limes, they're a lot cheaper than if you're buying them individually.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do that too. Those are the main things that I have in bags in the freezer.
It's no wonder you have a million freezers, and at least 3 or 4 of them are full of zucchini bread, I'm guessing.
Yeah, by now.
Oh. When is the next opportunity for us to get some zucchini bread? Let me think. There's some bake sales coming up. This month? Yeah. Not till November.
No, November. I think it's the 15th, the PEO sale. You know, uh-huh. That's down, is it in Seaside?
I don't know if it's Seaside or Cannon Beach.
No, Seaside. Okay. Not, I was thinking Gearhart or Seaside. It's Seaside, yeah.
Okay. All right. And then the big animal shelter in December.
Yep. Second Saturday in December.
So we know for sure that there will be zucchini bread available.
Woohoo!
Maybe, perhaps at a really good, you know, quantity discount.
What you say? You need 100 loaves? No problem.
Oh, my God.
But it freezes
gosh.
So perfect. You know, there's things that freeze perfect. And so it's just nice to.
Yeah.
To have them.
Well, we're going into not only autumn, but we're going into feast season.
Yeah.
Because no matter what you celebrate in the winter, you got several opportunities mm-hmm. to have a big old meal with friends and family.
Yeah.
So I love that about the autumn, certainly. And then right after that, I'm pretty much tired of it. I'm done with
really?
February 1st. I am done with winter.
Okay.
I think I've written entire food columns about the uselessness of February and actually Tuesdays. But
Do you ever just feel like you're stabbing at windmills?
But aren't you kind of once in a while just compelled to say something?
Yes.
Like for crying in the sink. Jeez. What is with February? Anyway. That aside, I know we have talked about this before, often around this time of year, where there are certain things that we simply must make mm-hmm. for our friends and family for holiday meals. And I've often had things that traditionally I grew up with, and it doesn't seem right without those things. Mm-hmm. But now at this point, I'm usually part of potlucks, and I love that so much because... Mm-hmm. I'm getting to make one thing that I might just be in the mood to make mm-hmm. And getting to eat a bunch of fabulous stuff that other people have brought.
So. Yeah, we were at a Thanksgiving a few years ago and Joyce Senior brought plantains.
I think I
may have mentioned that before, but it was so perfect. Whoever thinks of serving plantains for Thanksgiving, but it was perfect.
A Costa
and they
Rican.
Were delicious. But you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes.
And I never would have.
They were so good.
And my family, if I'd sprung plantains on them, they all would have imploded, you know?
Families are like that. That's kind of what we love about them.
Any
know.
Other time, they would be, you know.
This year, Joyce is bringing cornbread.
Really?
And she makes the best cornbread. Yeah.
My cornbread is the opposite.
Really?
Yes.
Well, maybe you should bring some and we'll do a taste test.
Poor everybody.
Why? What do you think? Why? Why do you say that?
Oh, because it's like a doorstop.
Oh, yeah. It can be like that.
Yeah, and it is at my house.
Yogurt. Hey, we were just talking about yogurt between you and I, text messaging each other, and I've been making yogurt with this fabulous Bulgarian yogurt culture that I totally love, and yogurt is a really good thing in cornbread.
Okay.
Just saying.
Okay.
I'm also just saying that we have to say goodbye because it's 10 o'clock. Linda Perkins, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary M. My Ers, what's your middle name? I don't know. I'll make it up. George.
Also, stay tuned because coming your way, NPR's news headlines, and then John Stevenson is in the house with Lost Highways.
I think he should be our work husband.
This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon.